Would you turn with me this morning to the first epistle of Peter, the first chapter? A few scriptures for our meditation this morning. The theme of my message this morning is the fear of the Lord, not the fear that makes us uneasy or miserable or losing victory, but the fear of the Lord. You don't have to turn to this, but in Job, he writes, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." And as I thought about that, it is wisdom. In this epistle, Peter, this letter to the churches in Asia Minor, a letter that would be read in probably many churches, several churches. He talks about, I want to begin with verse 13, preceding an exhortation to holiness, which we are so familiar with, we know. But I want to get to the verse 17, which is the verse that is really impressing me this morning. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There is quite a mouthful right there. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Holiness is being separate, set apart. That's what the word, you look up the Greek, that it's being set apart. We have been set apart by God, been called into his glory, and we have been made holy by his righteousness, and we are to remain separate, to be holy. Be holy as I am holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." But if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. This is the part that is impressing me this morning. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And I want to pause right here. Be holy, for I'm holy. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear. What does that mean to you and to me? Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know what I think, as I think about this, one of the biggest concerns, traps, downfalls of Christians today is losing the fear. And by fear, I mean the reverence for God. A holy reverence. To stand in awe of God and to say, "Oh, Lord, thank you. I was redeemed. Somebody didn't pay cash for me. I was not a slave in that sense, but I was a slave to sin. But he redeemed me by his own blood. He died on the cross for my sins. He paid the price, a price I couldn't pay. It was too great for me. There was no way, impossible for me to pay that price, to buy my redemption, but he did it. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear. In reverence. Reverence or fear to me is tied to humility. The word of God says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." Humility. When we have fear, we have humility. When we have reverence, we have humility. I think of what Isaiah wrote, I believe it's in the 6th chapter, when he sees the vision of God upon the Christ upon the throne and the seraphims that were there, and he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." He saw the holiness of God, and he was just in awe of what he saw. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. If we have reverence for God, we're going to consider, Lord, am I where I need to be? The brother's testimony. Lord, am I fake? Am I real? Am I sincere? Am I doing what I need to do? Lord, am I? Or, you know, sometimes it's easy to say, well, you know, I've been going to church. I'm a good person. I love the Lord. I'm baptized in water. Maybe I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost too. And everything's good. And we get into a mechanical, methodical worship and religion. We stop striving and pressing for the kingdom. We become satisfied with where we are. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about this is a danger for every one of us this morning. Self-justified. Well, look, I'm going to a church where they preach the truth. They love the Lord, and we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in walking in the Spirit. And yes, true, all true, all true. But what about me? Where am I in this situation? Do I have the reverence that God wants me to have? You see, when we have fear, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Lord, my desire, gut desire, my main priority, I want to make it to heaven. And everything that goes with it, I want to make it to heaven. I want to enjoy the blessings. I want to feel you pour out the blessings upon my life and upon my family because, Lord, I want to serve you. There is a holy reverence. Oh, Lord, I know where I was. I know where I could have been. I know where my end would have been if you didn't find me, if you didn't shed your blood for me. I know where I would be going. But, oh, Lord, you turned my path around. You changed my direction, oh God. You brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. You cleansed me from my sin. You forgave me everything, oh God. I didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway. I didn't merit it, but your grace and your mercy were so great. Oh Lord, thank you this morning for what you have done. Praise God. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. When we have that fear of the Lord, when we have it, it causes us to behave in a certain way. We desire to be in the services. We desire to be in the prayer meetings. We desire to be in the Bible studies because why? We can't get enough. There's something there I need, I want. I don't want to miss one thing the Lord has. I don't want to cause him grief. You know, in the New Testament, in one of the epistles, it said, "Quench not the Spirit." In another place, it says, "Grieve not the Spirit." When we don't have that fear, that reverence, we can be in danger of quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit that God sealed us with. Well, I'm not going to church Sunday night. Once a day is enough. Wednesday night, I'm busy. I need quality time with my family. Forgive me, maybe I'm being too specific this morning. I don't need to go to prayer meeting. I can pray at home. I'm satisfied with what I'm doing. After all, I've been in the Lord a long time. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. But do you have the fear, the reverence, the humility? Lord, I want what you have for me. Lord, I want to walk in your way. Lord, I want to be an example and a testimony. It's not the badge or the baptism that we wear. Look at me. I got the badge. I got the baptism right there. Oh, no. It's every day walking and living the life. It's every day of sojourning here in the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Lord, I want to make it. And I don't want to make it in a small way. I want to make it big. I don't want to just slide under the door when the trumpet sounds. I don't want to be the last one in line. I want to be right there at the beginning. In a manner of speaking, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, help us pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Oh, praise the Lord. Fear and humility are tied together. Humility is, we humble ourselves. Lord, I'm not worthy. There's that, it's not a self deprecating kind of attitude, but it's Lord, I understand who I am. I understand where I came from. I know the rock from which I was hewn. I understand this carnal man is an abomination. I understand, oh God, but oh, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. There's a humility there in our hearts, praise God, that says, oh, thank you, Jesus. And we look at ourselves and everything we do and say, did I offend someone? Did I say the wrong thing? Did I behave in a way that was offensive to someone? Did I injure my brother or my sister? Did I forgive? Why should I forgive? They hurt me. I got to forgive and they hurt me. No, yes, you do. Pass the time of your sojourning in here, fear. It says, likewise, Peter writes in the fifth chapter, you don't have to turn. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. What do we see going on in society today? A lack of respect. And it's come into the church. Comes into the church because it's all around us. Lack of respect. I can do what I want. Hey, I'm 21 years old. I'm gonna run my own show. I'm gonna do my thing. Is that what the scripture says? Is that what the word of God says? It says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Respect for your parents. Mom and dad, what do you want? Mom and dad, what do you need? Pastor, what's on your heart? Oh, I don't have to listen to him. He's just a man. No, you don't have to listen to me. I pray you listen to the Lord, though. We can injure a brother or a sister and not apologize. We can injure them. And we can hold the word of God, and we can sit in church and sing, and we can pray, and we can sit there and have not made things right. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Are you examining yourself? Am I examining myself? Oh, Lord, please help me. Because yes, I have this old carnal nature that's within me, and it rears its ugly head every once in a while. And I have to beat it down. I have to say, Holy Spirit, subdue me. And then that little thing like pride, you know, the opposite of humility, pride gets in the way. I'm not apologizing. I'm not too bad. They call me this. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. There's so much in the fear of the Lord, and the church is losing the fear. Everybody's deciding how they're going to live their life, how they're going to operate, how they're going to attend church, how they're going to behave. Everybody's deciding themselves. In the book of Judges, I believe it is, the last chapter, it said there was no leader, I forget exactly the words, but let me tell you, paraphrase it. Every man did according to what he thought was right in his own eyes. Well, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to church this way. I'm not going here. I'm not going to do that. Oh, Lord, restore unto us that fear, that reverence, that humility. Oh, Lord, help us to be a submitted people. God, resist the proud. We can pray till we're blue in the face, but if our hearts are not surrendered, if we don't, bow down to Him and say, oh, Lord, forgive me, we're going to stay like we are. Oh, praise the Lord. When Moses saw the burning bush, he was in the presence of Almighty God, and he said, and God said, draw nigh, not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for thy place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. We get in the presence of the Lord, it's holy ground, and he's saying, take off, as an act of reverence, take off your shoes. I'm not saying that in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. When Joshua, they crossed Jordan, and Joshua spied Canaan land, and he was wondering, and appeared to him Jesus, the captain of the Lord's hosts. And he was afraid, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. I'm the captain of the Lord's hosts, Jesus Christ. When you come into the presence of the Lord, take off your shoes. Spiritually speaking, oh Lord, help us, just like Isaiah when he saw the vision, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. Praise the Lord. Brother Mel had a message just a short while ago in Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What it is, the first commandment, the first thing he says, fear God. Fear God. Oh, Lord, help us. Psalmist says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Are you passing the time of your sojourning here in fear? You're going to walk out of this place this morning and say, well, that was great. Now I'm going to do my own thing. I hope the word of God follows you wherever you go today and just stays in your heart. I hope the word of God just presses you. Am I doing what God, am I fearing God? Hi, come on, brothers and sisters. The Lord says, wake up. In Hebrews, the writer says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us therefore fear. I mean, it's wonderful. We need to be confident. We're not afraid we're not going to make it. I understand that. We shouldn't be. But at the same time, on the other side of the coin, we should fear lest a promise being left us, we should come short of it. Because, brother, don't ever underestimate the power of your carnality. Don't ever underestimate the power of your natural man. He's powerful. And the only one that can subdue him is the Holy Spirit. You can't do it with your good thoughts. Oh, no, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's humanity. Well, I've got a strong willpower. When I set my mind to something, I do it. Let me guarantee you, you're not going to do this. Let us fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, we should seem to come short of it. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us not to lose the reverence for the Lord God Almighty. Because Peter, I'm going to close right here. Sisters, would you come forward? I don't feel to proceed. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, you didn't inherit this tradition. You may have come from another religion, but that's not what saves you. This church doesn't save you. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the faith in Christ. Amen. Well, I go to the EFGA. It means I'm good. No, it means you go to the EFGA. That's all it means. Amen. There's got to be more to it than that. What we preach and what we teach and what we believe is wonderful. But if you don't absorb it, if you don't put it in your own life, it means nothing. You're just a status symbol, a number. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God sacrificed his son for you and I to be saved only through the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Could we be saved only through the cleansing? No other way to God but through Christ, through the blood. It's the blood that washed us clean. And not only, God didn't leave us just there. He didn't stop with just that. Well, now you're cleansed. Well, now what? Well, there's still something missing. He sent the Holy Ghost to dwell within us. I love what Jesus said in Acts. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not before, but after. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we saw it played out in the disciples, the apostles' lives. They went from fear and weakness to strength and power because of the Holy Spirit. The plan of salvation, the shed blood of Christ for our sins, redeemed us. You could not receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not have come, impossible for it to come, unless the blood had come first. Unless we were cleansed, no way could the Holy Spirit take up residence in this humanity. No way. But he cleansed us, shed his blood, bought our redemption, and then said, I'll send another comforter, one who will abide with you forever. When he has come, he'll lead you in all truth. He'll glorify me. He'll reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He will lead you and guide you, and he will strengthen you, will help you. Oh my God, what a plan. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. How can we stand idly by? No, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need, you don't. Come on, brother and sister. We're lost and undone. We're miserable without the Lord. Look at the lives of some of the richest, most famous people in the world. Look at their lives. And what is it? It's confusion. It's sin. It's degradation. It's all the vices of this carnal humanity. But oh, praise God. Some person who's maybe not well off, but has God's presence, the Holy Spirit, has an intimate relation with Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ, knows Him in spirit and truth, endeavoring to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. Young people, get close to the Lord when you're young. Don't wait till you get older. Well, when I grow up, I'll get serious about church. Too late. Too late. You may not have another chance. Brother Ron, that's pretty negative. You're writing me off, and I even have a chance. Well, I'm telling you the reality. I'm telling you we have a powerful enemy, Satan, who has minions all over the place, who looking at you, and because you go to a full gospel church, because your parents are believers, because you know you've been exposed to the truth, you got a target on your back, a big target bullseye. Not worried about the ones that are lost, not worried about the ones that don't know Christ, not worried about the ones that don't go to church, don't worry about those, He's got them already. But you are a danger to His kingdom because you are a potential prayer warrior. You're a potential tool in the hand of God. You're a witness and you're a testimony, and people are going to look at you and say, there's something different about that young man, something different about that young lady. I don't know what it is, but they're different. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. There's something that they've got, something that I don't understand. It's the Holy Spirit that is drawing, the Holy Spirit that is working. Oh yeah, there's people that have been famous because they're good ball players, or they're dynamic students, or they go into the work world and they're just, you know, charismatic, and that's all fine for a time. But it soon wears off. It's what's in the soul that counts, my brother and sister. Pass the time. I'm going to close right here, I promise. Pass the time. Let me read another verse. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. He says, and if you call on the name, call on the Father, who without respect of persons. Did you hear that? Without respect of persons. Well, I'm not related to the pastor. I'm not an Adelini descendant. I'm not a Garasha descendant. It doesn't matter. It's just a name. I don't demean our brothers and sisters going. I'm not demeaning. I'm just saying that's not the issue. Without respect to persons, well, it's just, you know, I came from nowhere. I'm nothing. Join the club. We're all there. Without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Oh Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit give us a reverence for God, a reverence that, Lord, beat back the world's influence on us. Lord, beat it back. Oh God, help us to have a reverence. A reverence for the elders, a reverence for the pastor, a reverence for the work of God, a reverence for what God called us to. I heard some young lady say, this is a long time ago, well, I don't know why we have church 4 times a week. We used to have Saturday night service too. In the olden days, we used to say. I don't know why we have church 4 times a week. It's too much. It's too much. And given the life that we live today, it was difficult. But the issue is not four times or three times. The issue was a lack of reverence for the man of God. Who decided to do that? Did men get together and vote? No, the Holy Spirit led the man. The Holy Spirit led the pastor. Amen. Some churches have church two times a week, some one, some three. It doesn't matter, but whatever the Lord leads, that's what is right. Amen? Amen? And I said, what? I was taken back. Well, that's what the pastor, well, he's just the man. If that's where you're coming from, there's going to be a lot more setbacks in your life. The reverence for God's work and who God uses in whatever capacity. Lord, give us that reverence. Help us to examine ourselves past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not, oh, I'm afraid God's going to strike me down. No, that's not the fear I'm talking about. It's like when you get in the presence of God and you behold his beauty and his holiness. And you realize, no one has to tell you, you realize you're this big. And God is immense. And you say, oh Lord, you cared about me. You cared about me. You came looking for me. You came looking for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless us here this morning. May our hearts be turned over to him. May we examine ourselves. Say, oh God, restore. The psalmist says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I say, restore unto me the reverence for my salvation. May the name of the Lord be praised. Do we have a song?